This podcast is brought to you by the Institute for Building Technology and Safety, IBTS, a national nonprofit organization and trusted partner to public nonprofit and private clients. IBTS's work is guided by a board of directors with representatives from the Council of State Governments, the International City County Management Association, the National Association of Counties, the National Governors Association, and the National League of Cities. Thanks for tuning in. This is On Further Inspection with IBTS. I'm your host, Gabby Geraci. And in today's episode, we'll be talking shop with IBTS's Municipal Services Director, Chris Miller, and IBTS Inspector, Jesse Harris, to find out exactly what benefits local governments can reap from using third-party plan review and inspection services, as well as how technology is now making it possible to do these remotely, so that way no time is wasted because of outside factors. Good morning, guys. Thank you so much for joining me today. Why don't we go ahead and kick it off with you, Chris? Tell us a little bit about your role here.
Thank you. My name is Chris Miller. I'm the Local Services Director for IBTS. It's one of the divisions within the nonprofit. We focus primarily on local government services, and that includes counties, cities, towns, villages. We provide primarily services related to community development. So these would be building permit services, code enforcement, planning and zoning. We also provide specialized and targeted services related to grant funds, things like CDBG grants, HUD opportunities. We've even worked on disaster response projects. And then in addition to that, some of the unique things that we provide within our division is we actually run an entire city for the city of Central outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And for the city of Central, all of the staff, with the exception of the police department and some of the professional staff in the mayor's office, are IBTS employees. They work full-time at City Hall for the city of Central, and we provide public works and planning and zoning services, administrative services, finance department services, city clerk services. So we really do everything for that community. And we've been there for so long that we really are integrated within the fabric of Central. And that's one of the things that we're most proud of, is that for a place like Central, people don't see a distinguishing, or they don't distinguish between us and the city of Central. They think of us as part of the city. And so, you know, people know that we're IBTS employees, but they also know that we put the interests of the cities of the city first.
And so that's, they live there, really, right? The workers live there, so they're part
they
of the
live
community.
Locally. Many of them live in the city of Central. And, you know, we do things like attending fundraisers like Cooking in Central. We help out with a lot of their philanthropic activities, providing staff. And we do this in some cases on our own time. It's not always during city working hours, but on the weekends and other things with city festivals. You know, we really are part of the fabric of the community.
That's wonderful. How about you, Jesse?
I've been with IBTS a little over a year and a half, and I've met a lot of really cool people along the way. So I've enjoyed it a lot. I'm a building inspector. I got licenses in residential and commercial. For Oklahoma City, we are working on electrical there, though, so I'm doing electrical inspections for them. Also in Nebraska, we have a few smaller communities that I work in doing the other side of building, whether it be building inspections, plumbing, HVAC, all that kind of stuff. So
when you talk about your inspectors that are on the ground, what type of background do you need to be an inspector to do these remote inspections and, you know, in-person inspections? What is the work of that comes into becoming an inspector?
Well, you know, Jesse's a great example of what we do at IBTS, because not everybody who's an inspector starts right after high school knowing they want to be an inspector. And in many cases,
imagine that.
It's not something that's, you know, that's profiled in high schools. It's now more and more, but you know, that profession is not one that's usually highlighted for people who are in high school. And so, you know, Jesse's an example of someone who had a wealth of experience as a journeyman electrician in Nebraska. And, you know, certain states require certain types of backgrounds to become an inspector. And so, for example, in Nebraska, one of the best ways to be an electrical inspector is to first be an electrical contractor. And so, you know, Jesse had the requisite experience working as a contractor. And the other thing that has been beneficial for us is hiring people like Jesse. They have really strong interpersonal skills, because as a contractor, not only are you working within the trade, but you're also sometimes working with homeowners or other professionals on a job site. You know, one of the most important factors to what makes up a good inspector is having the ability to listen, have some empathy, and look for solutions. You know, the code is black and white. However, the way that you apply the code is really, you know, what separates a good inspector from someone who's maybe not so good. And so I think in Jesse's case, I know sitting in with some of his remote inspections, I know that he looks at the end result of the inspection and takes it step by step, and ensuring that at each step of the inspection, we're checking for things that are ensuring public safety and also matching what the code requirements are, and never losing sight of the big picture of what the project is.
Jesse, quick question for you. I'd love to know just how you feel your background has helped you in the work that you do today. I can imagine just from having inspections done to projects in my own home, you know, there's a lot of teaching involved. It's almost like you're, you know, you have to, when you're explaining the safety issue that something could cause, you're basically teaching people. So how does all of what you learn and the methods that you learned helpful in your job?
I have an electrical background of almost 15 years in the field. So when it comes to some of these, some of the stuff that they're working with, I've worked with it hands-on myself. So I know certain brands of things. You have little issues, like they don't like to be tight, like connectors, or so I already know that those certain items are kind of a pain to work with, or these are better. So we have that relationship, like, you know, you can talk about what you're working with because you've gone through it. You know, these things work, these don't work. You've felt their frustrations and their issues. And like Chris mentioned with the code, sometimes people interpret it differently. And like you said, there's a lot of teaching involved. It's almost like I am teaching, you know, what the code says and life safety issues. But it's definitely a learning curve for everybody, I think. It never stops changing. We get new products. We take on stricter codes.
So you're constantly learning about the code and how it's evolving. That's really...
You never stop learning, especially in the electrical field. There's always something new or some new fancy thing out there. So
your colleagues, you know, your fellow inspectors, do they have the same type of background as you? Do they come from the same kind of perspectives?
No, not all of them, but and that's a good thing. I think, because then you get several different people's points of view when you ask a question, and you see it from a different perspective, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And Jesse, one of the things that you talked about on the kind of learning as we go on some of these inspections, we have in Oklahoma City, for example, we have a regularly set meeting with the city's inspection team, with their director of inspections. And so we will review what we're seeing on our inspections, and they will share with us things that they're encountering or they have encountered. Because every jurisdiction, although the code is the same, it's not always applied in the same way. And so there are certain things that happen in communities over time where there are certain expectations about how inspections will be conducted, and certain things that they will look for and they will not accept. Wow. You know, what things that may meet the code but may not, they may meet the spirit of the code but may not meet the particular requirements of a local jurisdiction for whatever reason, and there can be several, but part of what we do is by learning with the city and becoming part of an adjunct of the city staff, we actually go through those training sessions with them on a weekly basis and make sure that we are understanding and applying the code the same way that the city does.
Wow, it's like a symbiotic relationship where you have to kind of understand the culture, the tradition. Their requirements might be a reflection of things that have happened in the past that they've learned from.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really
there. Cool. There are things that they've identified that have been issues in the past. Maybe they've caused a fire. And yeah. So they said, you know, we just either this material type or this this use of the application, we want to make sure that you're very careful and look at it as we would look at it. And so that's something that we've learned with Oklahoma City. And I think it's made us a better partner for the community.
That's wonderful. That reminds me of the central work you're doing and how you're incorporated into the city there
right.
as well. Very cool. Chris, tell us exactly what a third-party plan review and what a remote inspection is. Tell me about what it is that cities can benefit from those types of services.
So third-party plan review can take a lot of different forms. And we, within IBTS, between the work that we do in local government services, we also have another division called Building Department Services that works primarily in Northern Virginia and metropolitan DC area. And so between our two divisions, we kind of handle the whole life cycle of third-party work. In some cases, third-party work can be directly working for the developer or the contractor with an agreement through the city. And in those cases, you know, we work for the developer or the contractor, maintain their tight timelines, but always under the supervision of the city via some kind of an agreement that the city has in place. And in these situations, a city or county will actually have a program for third-party plan review or third-party inspections. The more traditional route for third-party work that we do throughout the United States is working directly for local governments on specific projects, doing either plan review with our staff or inspections with our staff, mirroring the city or the county's operations. So however they would normally conduct inspections, what they look for, their criteria, the local codes, we enforce all those and do our best to mirror everything that the city would normally do during those inspections so that you or plan review so that at the end of the day, citizens don't see any difference between the work done by us, the third party, and the work done by traditional city or county employees. One of the some of the benefits to the program that we have would be the timeliness. We're usually able to maintain extremely tight turnaround times for inspections and plan review, and just the thoroughness of the work that we do. We have specialized people throughout these two programs for either plan review or for inspections that have specialized skill sets that normally are a little bit deeper than what you would find at a traditional city or county operation. So if there, for example, if there's the need to do a fire inspection or a fire plan review, we have fire protection engineers who work for IBTS. And so in that situation, our level of expertise might be a little bit more specialized and might be appropriate for certain types of projects where, let's say, a city or a county has a project that's that's unique to the local jurisdiction. They haven't seen it before. And our team normally has seen similar projects from other parts of the country. And then we can bring our expertise to assist with those inspections or plan reviews.
That's so interesting. And you're doing this type of work in Oklahoma, correct?
That's right. Oklahoma is a great example where we have the work that we've done on the electrical inspection side, particularly with solar inspections and solar installations, mm-hmm. Has been a little bit different than what most local jurisdictions have had experience with, just because of the wide range of experience that IBTS has as a nonprofit doing work in the solar industry. And because of that, we've been able to tailor and train some of our inspectors to match the needs of the solar industry and to also make sure that local regulations are adhered to. And in some cases, we've identified areas where not only are the local regulations met, but there may be some things that are done on the installation side that can that we've seen, we've had experience with, where we make adjustments and ensure that those are also carried out at the local level as well from our national experience.
Wow. And Jesse's involved in that work. Jesse, you're doing some of that Oklahoma inspection work.
Yes, that's what I've been working hard on here lately is Oklahoma City's electrical inspections. A lot of it is solar, like Chris said. I think they had a bunch of grants. And so everybody was putting solar on and mm-hmm. And the city was a little overwhelmed, and so we're here to help them and help the contractors get through it. And
what's the reception when you arrive at a home, you know, as an IBTS inspector working for the city? You know, what kind of reception do you get from the residents there?
Right at first, sometimes they're kind of confused, like, who are you with? Do we need to call the city? And it's like, no, we're hired by the city. But actually, most people are like open arms, wanting to hug us and keep us to help them get through all their inspections. It's kind of nice being, you know, feeling welcomed and appreciated. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, inspectors, you know, if you have a good one, you do want to keep that one going throughout the process. I think we can all relate to that. Absolutely. So you guys, tell me a little bit more about this remote inspection technology, because as opposed to this face-to-face inspection that I think most of us are familiar with, this is something that is used here by IBTS. I just would like to know exactly what it is. I can't really envision it very well, so anybody that wants to kind of jump in and give me a sense of how that takes place and how you can get through a remote inspection.
I can start on that, and then Jesse can maybe give some particulars about how it actually works in the field. In concept, what we did is we developed an application for smartphones. And so we have something called Iris, which is an IBTS application. It's utilized on our remote inspections, and it works on both Android phones and iPhones. And the nice thing about it is it's kind of built on the Teams platform. So if you have Teams on your phone, which is a free software to install, and it works on all phones, then you can utilize the Iris tool that we have that kind of helps guide us through the inspection. And so essentially, you know, using the iPhone or the Android phone as a tool in the contractor's toolkit, they use the phone and point using the camera at different pieces or different installations during the inspection. We have a certified inspector on the other side of the call, which in this case would be Jesse Harris. And so Jesse will guide them through the inspection. We document everything. Through the Iris software, we're able to make a video recording of the inspection for later use. And, you know, we go back and look at the video logs on a periodic basis, pulling a random sampling just to kind of check how we're doing. But it's always available as part of the local government's package from our inspection. If they want to, they can keep a copy of it as part of a record of the inspection. We use it to start off at the beginning of the inspection to ensure that we're at the proper location where the inspection is supposed to occur. We normally do either checking the address physically using the camera, or we geolocate the address to make sure that we're where we're supposed to be. And as Jesse will probably indicate as well, because we do this so frequently in certain cities, we also know what we should be seeing for the type of inspection and where it's located. This may have been a inspection we did the rough in to begin with, so now we're coming back and doing the final, so we can look back at our notes and make sure that everything matches. But the software is fantastic. It's very easy to use. Once the contractor has a familiarity with it, it's very simple. It's just point and click, and then we go through the inspection. And I guess at this point, it'd probably be nice to have Jesse kind of describe what the inspections are like.
Yeah, Jesse, tell us.
Well, usually it starts off with the address and then guide people through what we want to look at. And some of these people we work with regularly, and they know exactly what we're doing, what we're looking for. So it's pretty smooth. Occasionally we get somebody who's new, and then they're like, oh, wow, that was painless. I was stressing that out all night about that. And that was way easier. It saves on time, fuel, expenses. They're not having to wait for us to drive across town with city inspectors. They're overwhelmed and with the amount of inspections, and a lot of them that have a kind of a big time frame of when they're going to be there. And with us, we can say 9 o'clock, and we're there at 9 o'clock. It works pretty smooth.
That's really cool. And do you have, when you're doing a remote inspection, do you have people that are maybe, I'm thinking about COVID, right? Immunocompromised, or if there is something going on in the environment that prevents a face-to-face encounter, is that something that this would fill that need for still continuing work as usual?
Absolutely. It would, keep that space so you're not getting people sick. And here, we're obviously it's video, so we're not doing the traditional handshake and walking around with them, but we're still face to face, and we, obviously then we can't spread COVID or any other thing like this time of the year, colds and
That's true.
flu. So
Absolutely. That's super interesting. Tell me a little bit about your work in Oklahoma. How did they find IBTS to work there, and why would they need IBTS help?
well, as you mentioned, we're a national provider of services, and so we have branch offices throughout the United States. When we consider the on the corporate side, of course, we're headquartered in Ashburn, Virginia, in the Northern Virginia marketplace. But we have in local government services, we have branch offices in Kansas City, we have operations in Nebraska, we have operations in Oklahoma, as we'll talk about in a moment. And we also have another branch located in the Shreveport, Louisiana area as well. So we have kind of a matrixed organization, and as part of that, we have not only do we have a reputation, but we have experience working in and around Oklahoma City. And so as part of that, the city reached out to us and said, we're having some issues trying to maintain our turnaround times on inspections, and we'd like to see if you can assist us. So part of that conversation led to us talking to them about our partnership with Omnia. Omnia is a national cooperative partnership that I would say most cities and counties already belong to across the United States. And so through our partnership with Omnia, we already have a master services agreement that Oklahoma City was able to utilize to go directly to contract to us without going out to bid first. It was something that was able to be on the consent agenda with some predetermined pricing and expectations. So that was the first step that we took, and that allowed us to really assist Oklahoma in a very quick manner. And as a part of the process with Oklahoma City, we talked and had a series of conversations to investigate what their needs were. And what they identified to us was their primary need was electrical inspections. That was an area where they had between a 10 to 8, I'm sorry, 8 to 10 day backlog of inspections that they were looking to address. And so they brought us aboard as kind of a surge, or utilizing people targeted in a specific manner for specific types of inspections to help them reduce their backlog and get back to where they want it to be, which is roughly a 2 day turnaround time. So you call an inspection on a Monday, and they like to be able to do either a next day or a 2 day inspection.
Wow,
And
what a
so as I
difference.
mentioned, they were out over a week, in some cases 2 weeks, for certain types of inspections.
Yeah, that's a big difference, especially if you're sitting around waiting for that inspection to happen and to be able to continue your work. Yeah.
And also what happens too is the building community starts to understand what the timelines are. And so what they'll do is they'll call an inspection way ahead of when they actually need it. And so that can cause
Okay.
problems too, because now you have a number of inspections that are in the inspection pipeline but may not really be ready to be inspected. And so if the city happens to pull some of those inspections because an inspector's in that part of the city, or they're working on a similar job site, they'll go and do the inspection, and the inspection gets failed because they're not prepared for the inspection.
Right.
So not only are you conditioning your contractors to call things in before they're ready, before they're ripe for inspection, but you're also setting the community up for failure because your expectations are not realistic expectations.
So tell me a little bit about the actual work itself that you do. What types of projects do you work on? What types of projects in the pipeline right now for you that are you excited about?
So for us, one of the most exciting projects is the work we're doing in DeSoto, Kansas. It's a community outside of Kansas City, and it's the location of what was formerly the Sunflower Army Ammunition Plant, which closed back in 1992. It's one of those places in the country that just has fantastic interconnectivity because of rail and interstate, but wasn't in a location that was looked at from a development perspective, you know, back in the 1990s. And also there were serious environmental issues with the property. And so the state and the federal government combined forces, and since the 1990s had been working to remediate the site and make it available as a development opportunity. And I guess through work by the governor's office in Kansas and needs of the Panasonic Corporation looking to support Tesla with the manufacturing of cell batteries for the vehicles, they found this location in DeSoto as an ideal location to create a brand new, almost 3 million square foot plant to develop and build these batteries for the next generation of Teslas and other EV equipment. The site itself is over 300 acres and it's in Johnson County. So I think it's one of the largest, if not the largest development ever to occur in Johnson County, Kansas.
Wow, what a project. You say batteries, I'm guessing that there's a lot of risk involved with that.
Right, this is a very specialized type of a project. And so in a lot of locations, we have existing master service agreements. And for DeSoto, we also work very closely in the metropolitan KC area with the Mid-America Regional Council of Governments. And through MARC, which is their acronym, we have an existing contract to provide services as needed for building, plan review, all the community development services that you would need in a place like DeSoto. And so for DeSoto, they went through an engagement process where they talked to a couple different firms that could provide not only building inspection, but plan review services as well, just for this Panasonic battery plant. We met with the city manager. We also met with the building official, and we were selected to be their provider. So we work directly for DeSoto, and we provide up front, we're doing plan review. And again, like you mentioned, these are hazardous type of materials that are being utilized. So there's a lot of specialized plan review and issues related to engineering that we are familiar with from the work we've done across the country. So we are performing all the plan review, and then we're also doing all the site inspections and the building inspections for DeSoto as well. And so we have a dedicated crew that does plan review for them. And we also have a dedicated crew doing inspections on the ground in DeSoto, all kind of working together to make sure that we can maintain Panasonic's extremely tight timelines for when this project will actually open and be operational.
Which is when it...
I believe the time horizon is in 2025. Oh, wow. Some of it will start in 2024. So the buildings are actually vertical now. Steel is in place. They're at one point, they were moving dirt 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So you can imagine the scale of operations. And it really does look like a moon landing site, just the size of the vehicles and the types of operations that are going on. This will be the second plant that Panasonic has in the United States. The first one was in Reno. And so when the Reno plant, the DeSoto folks went out and visited that one first to kind of learn a little bit about what it looks like and try to figure out some of the things to make sure that they could work with us and incorporate into our review so that, we kind of learn the lessons of the first project so this one can be even more successful.
That's wonderful. That must be really exciting to be a part of that wave of people within the same industry working towards the end goal.
It is. It functions as a small city. They have food services that are done on a daily basis for all their workers because the location they have is not really close to any of the restaurants or other things within DeSoto. You know, overall, this is a $4 billion investment, and I believe the total site itself is over 9,000 acres. So there will be other phases that will come along after this first phase of development. You know, someone told me that this is similar to having the size of the DeSoto project is similar to several small family farms stitched together. You know, that's how massive this project is. And, you know, we think of in terms of how to visualize it. We will have inspectors, team of inspectors working there on a full-time basis, more than just we have right now, because of just trying to get through the building on a daily basis to perform all the inspections. We utilize golf carts to get throughout the building. We will have teams designated in different parts of the building. And that's the kind of surge addition or additional staff capabilities that DeSoto would have to hire for and then have to let those people go when this project is completed. Yeah. And so instead of that, they bring us in just for what's needed. And the fees match the fees that we charge the city. So, you know, DeSoto isn't underwriting the cost of our work. It's actually being paid for by the developer, in this case, Panasonic. And we've been able to maintain our time frames too. That's the other thing too. We do same day inspections, next day inspections. We have a commitment to DeSoto and Panasonic to turn plans around within a certain number of days. And we provide complete plan reviews, not partial plan reviews. Every time we do a plan review, they're completely finished, not partial.
A lot of work.
It is.
So that was through the MARC agreement you mentioned?
That's right.
And so what are some of the ways that you've mentioned Omnia Partners, you've mentioned MARC. These are some of the ways that people can get in touch with IBTS to get these types of services?
Yes, exactly. On our website, we list a number of the partnerships that we currently have. And, you know, Omnia is one that's on a national basis. In Kansas City, we have one with the Mid-America Regional Council. We have a similar agreement in Charlotte with the Central Anna Regional Council, where we're providing code enforcement services. So we have a number of these, and we have several agreements throughout Oklahoma as well, and in Missouri, Kansas. So, you know, different parts of the country, we have different agreements that help, that are tailored towards the needs of local communities, and will also help communities get assistance in a very rapid response way.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much. I really just want to thank you guys for all your time and your energy. It's been a real pleasure to hear all this awesome work that you're doing. It's all intended to keep people safe. So it's really, that's the end goal. And I love that you work hard towards that every day. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And to our audience, thanks for listening to On Further Inspection. We invite you to tune in again as we continue to explore topics and trends that are helping our communities thrive.